Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
We've taken the words that God gave us and we've added to it and we've taken from it. I'm talking about, you know, preachers. We've added our opinion. We've spoken too quickly. We've spoken so many times in the flesh. So many times we've voiced our opinion. Here's what I think. Who cares what you think? What does God say?
Amen.
What is God saying? It's a life that has been yielded unto His service through the good times and the bad, through the seasoning and being put in the oven and baked, and the difficulty of the preparation time. And sometimes it takes a long time. And when you think it's over, and when you think it's died, when you think your ministry is laid its last egg, you think your ministry is done, and you think it's never going to rise from the ashes, it is from the ashes that glory comes.
Thank you, Jesus.
I wonder if God ever does anything that isn't from ashes, in fact. Does He ever raise up a glory from someone who has not laid down their life, really? And so those of you who have paid your dues, in other words, you've laid it down and you've endured some things. You've endured the cross. You've endured... I see someone here, you've been ridiculed. You were made fun of. There's someone in here, you were made fun of. And it hurt. And you pretended to be strong, and you are strong. But it hurt. And God says this, you are my chosen. And how dare they talk about my chosen in such a manner? They will see. I will show them. And I will allow you one day to reach your hand out to them, the very ones that hurt you. You will reach your hand out in mercy and forgiveness, and you will pull them up out of the pit, and you will bring them into the kingdom of God, and you will hold them with one hand in your hand, and I see that your arm, your other arm behind their back, and you are restoring their life. The one who persecuted you, the one who made fun of you, the one who belittled you, who did not believe you, will turn to you in a time of need and say, what is it that you have? I was wrong. They will say, I was wrong. And they will know that the Lord God is upon you. And because God's grace and mercy is upon you, you will show them His mercy and His love. You will show them the mercy and the love and the strength and the character and the holiness of God. And by the way, this is a very great honor. This is a very great honor. This is an honor that you suffered for His name's sake, and it is an honor that He will use you for His glory. There's a word getting ready to come forth. I'm just going to wait for that. Touch not the holy thing. Touch not the holy thing of God. There are some things that are holy and sacred and not to be handled lightly. Be careful how you handle God's people. Be careful how you handle the church, even those that you think are wrong. Be careful how you handle them. Handle them with kid gloves.
Amen.
Even if they're wrong, handle them with kid gloves gently, because you know what He said? That's my baby you're dealing with. And babies are wrong sometimes. And babies dirty their diapers sometimes because they don't know. They're not adults. And some of the people that you've pointed a finger at with criticism and with judgment, some of them have a heart for God, but they're little babies. And they need someone to help them see. They just need someone that can help them understand. And they may even reject you momentarily, but that's okay. Just handle them with kid gloves. And if you're not the person that's going to help them, that's okay. Just love them and back away and pray for them and let God do it. Because He's going to do a thing in the church. He's going to do something in the church. But I saw a golden vessel. It was beautiful that the Lord had put out, and He was saying, touch not the holy thing. Don't touch this thing. If you don't understand it, leave it alone. If you have a criticism, you might want to hold that thought, because God is doing something that is above us. God is doing something that is beyond our human, meager understanding. Yet, He is allowing us to hook up with Him and be involved in the holy thing. Isn't that amazing? It's beyond our understanding, yet He's going to allow us to move in the realm of the Spirit and help. There are some of us here that are being allowed to help dole out or give out the very things that God is delivering to the body of Christ. There are people in this room that their job is to stand in heavenly places and by the Spirit only deliver to people their commission. Do you understand? There are people in the body of Christ that are being commissioned in this day. Not everybody, but you're going to see more and more people coming into their commission, coming into their ministry, coming into their office, and you're going to see God begin to give out gifts. He's releasing some gifts into His people. You're going to begin to hear better. You're going to begin to hear. Now listen, remember this. By the Spirit, God is going to say something to you, and it will be a little bit different than the way He's talked to you before. And you're going to hear something, you almost think, it's not like words. It's almost like, was that God? When you hear that, when you sense that, stop and listen. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me again. Because He's doing something. He's leading you into a greater walk of following the Spirit of God. He is leading you by His Spirit, and He's going to increase your hearing. He's going to increase, hearing isn't even the right word, He's going to increase your sensitivity until you're going to become, He wants you to become super sensitive to the ways of God, the leadings and the path. You might be driving along and you might just have this sense of, ooh, I need to go to the library, whatever. And I'm sensing that this is not something you'll actually hear. And I usually hear. That's how I'm led. But I sense this is more of an unction. And I want to urge you, do not resist the unction, because when you follow it, it's okay. First of all, it's okay to make a mistake. But I believe what you're going to see is God touching people. Yes. And God, when you begin to follow that unction, you're going to see your gifting, whatever it is, begin to manifest. Everybody's gifting and flow is a little bit different. People have their personality for a reason. If you have a bold personality, you may be an evangelist and must be bold. If you have a quiet personality, maybe you're a person that's to be cloistered with God. Hallelujah. Your personality suits the gifting that God will give you. But as you follow the unction of God, as you follow His leading, He will lead you down the pathways of life, cause you to come into divine connection with certain people and deliver the goods that you were given for them. You're destined to deliver the things from God to people. I see someone carrying a little pack on their back, and they're just walking along whistling, and they've got this pack full of goods. It's full of things from God. And as they bump into people, I see them pull out a little booklet for somebody and pull out a bigger book for somebody else and a tape for somebody else. They're just going along saying, oh, this must be for you. This must be for you. And they're just going on and having a great time. But I can see the people that are left behind, and they have a look on their face that is stunned, and they've got this thing, and they know that it's real, and they know it's from God because it has their name all over it, so to speak. It has the fingerprints of God for their life all over it. See, there's more to prophecy than prophesying. There's more to the prophetic than just speaking some word you got from God. The prophetic is getting something from God and delivering it to people. It may be gifts of healing. It may be gifts of moving in the Spirit. It's much more than words. It's the giftings, the unction, the callings, the power of God. If you're a person that's, I'm called to one of the people that's called to equip. My job is to help equip. And so when God gives me a word, a lot of times it's not just a word, it's a commission, or it's a ministry, or it's a gifting, or it's a release. But that's my job. But a lot of you have similar jobs. We don't know yet, but I see that in this room there's all kinds of giftings that are almost like the word is burgeoning, just almost just teeming, ready to come forth. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I break every hindering force from that religion has put on my brothers and sisters in this room. I break every negative word that has been spoken against your gifting or your gift or your personality in the name of Jesus. And Father, we release these people to do what they were called to do. And Father, anoint them to do it in love, and anoint them to do it by the Spirit and without harboring any hurt or any bitterness, but delivering the word in love. God is raising you up. He's raising you up. Because things are winding up.
Yeah.
And he wants his people on the streets doing the stuff, doing the goods, giving the goods out.
Amen.
Delivering what the people need. There are people, listen, there are people that are called of God and they know it, but they won't go to church because they think church is, you know, just religion. But yet they know they're called of God and they're kind of running from him, and they're everywhere. I bump into them everywhere. There are people that know the call of God. And you know what? You cannot look by their outward appearance. Some of them look absolutely demonic, but they know that God has called them.
Mm-hmm.
I met a woman that knew from the time she was 8, she lived in a real difficult home, a home where she was abused in many different ways by a number of people in her family. She had a horrible life, a horrible lifestyle. But when she was 8 years old, Jesus appeared to her and told her some things about her life. Yet here she was stuck in this family with no Christian or religious upbringing of any kind, didn't know a thing, but she knew Jesus Christ was real. She'd seen him when she was 8 years old, and she could never let go of that calling. She could never let go of the thing that she was called to do. So no matter how difficult things got, she knew God had something for her, and one day I bumped into her. And I began to talk to her about the call of God. She said, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know how to do it. They're everywhere, these people. They're everywhere that had some experience with God, but they don't want to talk about it to religious people. They don't feel like getting beat up over it. But they want someone that can help them or mentor them by the Spirit of God. Keep your radar up. God will lead you to these people that are hungry and thirsty for the knowledge of God. They've had it with religion. They've had it with some of the stuff they've seen.
Amen.
With the church, but they really do love God. I talked to someone the other day that said, I've been calling on God. I've been asking him, and I never hear him talking to me. And little tears started coming out of her face. She wanted so much to hear from God. But the church that she went to had told her that when she was confirmed, she received the Holy Spirit. They never told her how to be born again, and nobody received the Holy Ghost when they laid hands on them because they weren't saved. They were basically telling a false doctrine. And so if they tell people they have it and the people believe they have it, why should they seek? And yet they're frustrated and they talk to God and they hit a wall and they don't hear from him because they've been lied to and deceived. And so I didn't come against her church and I didn't come against their teachings. I just gently began to share the scriptures. I began to share in the book of Acts. And I began to take her through the scriptures about being born again and about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were touched with tongues of fire. And a boldness came upon them. And their life was changed. And I said, did that happen to you when they laid hands on you with oil? Well, no. I said, well, I don't want to, you know, hurt your feelings, but I don't think that's quite what it was, okay? And she began, it took a couple hours. And we're not where we're going yet, but this is where people are at. The people out there are hungry for God. They just don't know how to find him, but somehow they know it ain't the church. So we have to disguise ourselves as not the church, even though we are the church. We have to let them know we're normal human beings with normal frailties, and that we're just saved by grace too. And that we can never point the finger at anybody. We can never tell them we're better because we ain't. We can never tell them we're better because we are not. In Isaiah 58, it talks about taking away the pointing of the finger. It says, if you take away the pointing of the finger,
amen,
that the glory of the Lord comes upon you. Who are we to point a finger at anybody? Who are we, saved by the grace of God, to point a finger of judgment at anybody? Because we don't know their heart. But God is releasing. He is releasing a preparing work in His army and in His body. And you're going to see things differently. You're going to perceive Him and His voice differently. Look for it. When you leave here, see, some meetings are about what happens to you at the meeting, but I sense this meeting is about what's going to happen to you after the meeting in the weeks to come. I sense that God is going to give you an ability to come closer into His presence. I see God gently removing some things that have been hindrances between you and God. Now, they were not a hindrance for Him to come close to you, but they were a little bit of a hindrance for you to feel like you could come close to Him. Did you ever have a little something between you and God and you felt you couldn't come really fully into His presence because you had this little something? And it can be anything. It can be a fear. It can be a doubt. It can be a feeling that you messed up. I see God gently just removing every hindrance, every obstacle, and saying, come. Come in. Come in fullness. Because there's a greater relationship to be had. There's a closer walk with Him that He wants to bring you into that's closer than what you've known. Face to face, He wants to bring you into where you're in His presence and you're there 24/7. You're able to just step into His presence, hear what He wants. He can sit and teach you for hours. The Lord wants to bring you into a place where He can teach you and share with you and impart to you. So that you are now able to help other people. That's a disciple. That's a disciple. A disciple is one who comes in and he teaches them. He teaches them and imparts to them. And every day there's something new from Him. Don't ever think He's told you all the stuff He wants to tell you. He has treasures untold that we've never seen. And every time we go into His presence, He has something new, something greater, something more. And it's astounding every time. It's like He'll tell you something, man, I never even dreamed of that idea. I never even thought of that idea. And you grow a little more and you're able to help someone a little bit more. As you come into that place where you're living with Him, like being God's roommate, how would you like to be God's roommate?
Peanuts.
Did you ever have a roommate? I had a roommate one time that we were so close. We would sit up. We couldn't go to bed at night. We like to just pour out our hearts. We'd talk to each other until 3 and 4 in the morning. God would like to be that way with you. Some people in here, you've done the stuff. You know how to pray. You know how to intercede. You know how to work in the Spirit. You know how to read your Bible. You know how to study. You even know how to deliver a word. But there's times in God when He even wants you to set all that aside and come and be friends. Friends. God, I just want to talk today. You know this thing, it's really bugging me, God. God, this thing, I don't get it. Explain this to me. I don't get what happened here. Can you show me this? I just had one recently. He had been telling me for years I was going to do a certain thing, and then recently something came up. It looked like I was going to do something completely different and this other thing wasn't going to happen. Well, how does that work? Both of them came from God, or did they? So I went to God and I said, okay, I don't get it. If this is both from you, you need to reconcile them. I need to understand this. And God sat me down like a little child and said, okay, let me explain. And He began to take me through and explain how both are going to fit together as one and that both are His plan. And by the time we were done with that conversation, by the time we were done having that friendship relationship of going back and forth and me learning from Him, see, years ago I would have just prayed in tongues until I prayed it through, and that's good. That's a good thing. I encourage people to pray in tongues until you've prayed your situations through, but this is even more fun. where you're sitting at the feet of the king and he is simply delineating the whole thing. It's a better thing. If you have a journal, get a journal. If that helps you here, fine. If it helps you here to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Whatever helps you to get in his presence and
Amen.
Sit at his feet and be a disciple. If it helps you to sit, some people like to sit in a hot bathtub because it relaxes them so they can hear better. Fine. Whatever works. He wants to talk to you. And listen, he would like to talk to you at length until you comprehend the things of heaven and the things of earth.
Amen.
He would like to talk to you until you comprehend your surroundings, your family, the situations that you're in, things that have confronted you, questions of your heart. God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But we've seen him as being so far off that we've been, you know, not able to bring small things to him. Or we bring him, but we don't wait to hear the answer because we think he's not going to talk. And he's going, but, I wanted to tell you, he has all the answers. What's really been fun for me lately is we'll bring a subject of something that's confusing to me, and instead of talking all over the board, we'll come and sit and we'll talk about one subject until I get it. And he knows, I might not be the fastest person on the draw, so we're going to sit here until I get it. But he will use scriptures, he will explain it, and this is the walk he wants you to have. Listen, there's a scripture that says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. He wants his people to be able to sit in his presence and listen. Just like Mary. He said, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered by much serving. But he said, really, listen to this, only one thing is necessary.
Yes, Lord.
One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the better thing.
Thank you, Lord.
And Mary's lips weren't even moving. She was sitting at his feet, listening to whatever he wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And he was imparting to her, and he was teaching her. That's a disciple.
Thank you.
That's a disciple. It's someone that will go to him. Ask your questions. Ask the questions of your heart. And pray and stay with him and do whatever it takes. I used to tell him, I don't care how long it takes, I want you to train me to understand what you're saying.
Amen.
I want you to train me to hear your voice and to know the leading of the Spirit. Because I can't afford, I don't know how to run my life. I've screwed it up. I can't do it. I've proved that. I've proven that I am not good at being Lord of my own life. I've proved that. So I've got to know, Father, what you're saying. And I'm going to come here every day, and I'm going to bother you until you train me.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
And the Lord began to train me. And that's what he wants to do. He wants a people that hear and that have confidence when they hear from him what he is saying. Because they are able to be life changers. They are able to change lives wherever they go. They are able to take the word of the Lord to people. And they are able to change lives with the word of the Lord. Because what God puts in you, like I said before, it's like he puts it in you and it seasons. And then when you deliver it, it is to the recipient as a very word from God himself. So that when you speak, there's something different about it. When you speak prophetically, which just means you're speaking from the throne. You hear me? When you speak prophetically, what you're doing is you're speaking from the throne. You're speaking, it's almost as though you back up to the Lord and you speak from the throne of God. See, a prophet is just a person who's the mouthpiece of God. Because God wants to speak to people who can't hear yet. He wants to speak to people who don't hear well. And the closer you come into his presence, the more he will train you how to give a word, not just how, not just what the word is. He'll teach you when to give it and when to shut up. He'll teach you. The more you hang out in the presence of the Lord, the more you will become fine-tuned into the timings of God. the more you hang out in the presence of God, the more you'll become fine-tuned, not even in the not just in the timings, but even in the delivery. There are some words you'll give, and if God is weeping, you'll weep.
Amen.
If God is comforting, you'll comfort. If God's compassion is poured out upon them, your compassion pours through your heart. It really is nothing you can do. It's nothing you can work up. There are some people that will come to you, and suddenly you care so much about their wounds, because prophetically, He is pouring through you, and you have become the gateway of God. You've become His doorway, His mouthpiece. And that's what He is longing for, because He longs to speak to humanity. He longs to touch lives. He wants people to understand the great love and the great mercy of the Father. And He knows that people have been lied to, and it's heartbreaking to God that people have been told that He's a bad God. He's never been vindicated in a lot of lives. People were told by the church, whatever church they went to, God was mad at them, and that they had to work their way into heaven, and it was by good works, so of course they have no hope. So they were told this stuff, and God has never been truly vindicated. You know, God told me one time, He said, you can't stand it if somebody tells a lie about you. And I can't. I'll tell you the truth, I don't like that. You know, if somebody says something bad about you and it's not true, don't you just long to be vindicated? You long to have it set straight. You long to be vindicated. But God told me one time, He said, I long to be vindicated too. I long for people to understand who I am and what I'm like. I want people to know that my care is upon them, that I'm not a bad God, that I sent my Son to die for their sins. See, I want to be vindicated too. I remember a few months ago, I went through a thing at work where someone said some really devastating things, not just about me, but my whole group, and they were not true. And people believed it, and that hurt. And during that time, God began to speak to me that He has some things He is looking for. He has some things that He's looking for the fruition of. He has something He's waiting for in the earth. He told me recently, He said, He was giving me that scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it comes, it's a tree of life. And so many people in the body have a deferred hope. And they long for this thing that the promise of God or the hope of God, the thing that they feel God has promised them. And until they get it, it's like they're undone. And I was there for years. I felt damaged and wounded because I lived for one thing and it seemed as though it could never be. That's hope deferred. And one night I was sitting and talking to the Lord. He said, I have a hope deferred too. I have a hope that has been deferred. And how I am straightened until it's accomplished. Remember that scripture? He said, see, you guys think that Jesus came, He died, and He was raised again, and that was the end of the subject. He said, but that was the beginning. Now I am looking for mission accomplished. Mission accomplished is when the Son of Man returns. Will He find faith on the earth? When He comes, will everything Jesus died for be in place? When He comes back, will He find what He died to have? Will He be able to find the thing that He died to have?
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He's looking for a fulfillment, and His heart has a longing too. It was the first time I ever saw that His heart has a longing, and there's like a piece missing from His heart until the body comes home and fills that niche. And so many of us go through life and we long for a ministry, we long for to be used of God and to do something for God, and a lot of us tend to be self-oriented. We do. We tend to pray for what applies to us. We tend to pray for the things that are in our lives, about our lives. But recently I've had a shift in my life where I began to say, God, what do You want? What is it that You desire? What's the passion of Your heart? What can be done? What can we do? And He began to tell me some things to pray for that wouldn't help me or hurt me. Had nothing to do with my life. And I began to take these things and put them on a paper and every day pray over these things that would bless Him. Pray over things that would build His kingdom. Pray over things that would build His body. That I'll never, some of them, I'll never even know till heaven if they came to pass or not. I know they do because I know He hears my prayer. I know He hears my prayer, so I know He will. But there are some things in this life that I might not know that are on my pieces of paper that I pray for Him. If you really love somebody, you want to pray for what will help them. And we love Him. Pray in His kingdom. Begin to ask the Lord, Father, what is it you want? And I'll tell you a secret. When you sow that, He starts to look for ways to bless you. When you sow into His ministry, trust me when I say He'll sow into yours. When you sow your life into what's going to bless Him, He will move stuff out of the way.
Absolutely.
He will find a way to come and bless you. And He will start to ask you this question. What is it you want? What would you like? What can I do for you? Because you've been asking Him.
Amen.
That's the nature of God, is to seek something for others. It's the very nature of God. God said, let us make man in our image. You know what our image was? I'll tell you. Our image, when He said that, He meant our, the Trinity, right? Here's the Trinity. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but that of the Father. He lived every moment for what would bless the Father, not Himself. Every living moment Jesus was here, He wasn't thinking about His own deal. What will build my Father's kingdom? What will please Him? What would make His day? The Holy Spirit came to teach a people, a stubborn, stiff-necked, closed-eyed, closed-ear, closed-mouth people, that most of them didn't want anything to do with Him. He's paid a terrible price to be over 2,000 years with a stubborn bunch. And He loves us continually. And He's waiting every moment of every day to get a chance to lead us into the fullness so He can bring glory to Jesus Christ. He lives constantly to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not His own. He don't even talk about Himself. He doesn't even like to talk about Himself. He likes to talk about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to the... He said, if he who blasphemes me, he who blasphemes the Father can be forgiven, but he who blasphemes that Holy Ghost, they're never going to be forgiven. Not in this age and not in the age to come. Each of them put the other first. The Father made the name of Jesus the name above every name, even His own name. How about that? So you can see it is the nature of God to put the other first. There's a scripture that says, in honor giving preference to the other. In honor giving preference to the other. Sometimes when you're in ministry, you'll see other ministers, and maybe they have a meeting on the same night as yours, or maybe, you know, I'll tell you something, ministers can be very fleshly. And they can have all kinds of competition and stuff. That's okay. Bless them. Help people. A minister recently came to town, and I stopped what I was doing and called all the local churches and said, would you have this man in? Got four churches lined up. Not about the kingdom. This man is anointed. And some of those nights, I had a meeting too. And some of my people went to his meeting. Yahoo! Because you know what? They're going to be blessed. It's about the kingdom, not our little deal. It's about the Father and what He wants. And that is how the Lord deals with us. In honor, give preference to one another. There will be times when you meet somebody and you don't think they know half of what you know. That's okay. Give them preference. That's all right. Because when you sow that, you reap that. When you, in honor, give preference to another person, or especially you give honor to the Lord and His ministry, even at your own expense, God begins to look for ways to surprise you and bless you and give you things that you dreamed of that you forgot to even talk about to Him.
Amen.
Things you wanted that you never even talked about to God. He will find a way to give it to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that's the heart of God. And I believe that before the fall in the garden, that Adam was made, we, Adam, were made in the very image of God, and that it was Adam's very first thought, what will glorify God? But that when we sinned, we took on the nature of the enemy, whose very first thought is, what's in it for me? And we took on that nature. But Jesus Christ came to bring us back to pre-fall condition. He came to He's the doorway. He's the door to go back to how it was before the fall. Now, there's a transformation that can take place in our life. But, you know, we have to pray. I had to pray this in because, you know, if you look at your heart, most, probably all people, is really a lot of times what we want. It's about us. Even, you know, people who want to heal real bad, I tell you the honest truth, most of them don't want to heal because they're so concerned that somebody else is in pain. Most people that want to be used in healing want to be used in healing because that makes them feel good. It seems as though God's stamp of approval is on their life. It seems as though I am the anointed one. Well, I'm going to tell you, that is humanity after the fall. And even though we're born again, a lot of the stuff that we want to do, if you look in your heart, look truly in the mirror at your heart. And I began to see you, ick. I began to see, now I did love God with all my heart, but I also had some things where I desired what I wanted to desire. That's the truth. And I began to go after God and say, you've got to change me. You've got to change this. Because this is not godly. This is not how Jesus Christ was. You got to do something. And I began to go after God to change me and change the motives of my heart. And I spent about 2 years praying and seeking God to change the motives of my heart and to purify my motives. And you know, He began during that time to give me a revelation of His ministry in the earth. His heartbeat, what He desires for His own people. What He would do if he had total sway with the church. In other words, if the church really was attentive and following the leading of the Lord, the things that God would do. But I believe He's releasing this kind of stuff because there's a shift. There's a shift. Anybody that's been praying a lot in the past couple of weeks can tell you there's been something has changed. When we go into prayer lately, you can tell that there's been a shift in the spirit. Amen. The other night, some of us were in prayer, and it was as though the temple split open in a volcano, and there was a burst of lava, of God's hot power coming forth. There was a split of something coming forth that was so of God, so hot. And there was releases from things. I saw what looked like a mine shaft. And it had been sealed with two doors that had been shut for many years. And the Lord opened these doors. And I sensed it wasn't just about finances. It was about the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. Treasures. Things that are of value that have been hidden away are being released to the body of Christ. And you know what? We've been like a bunch of emotional, excuse me, and I'm just going to say it. We've been like a bunch of emotional little kindergartners who want to dance around and, you know, it reminds me of the flower children. Give me two breaks. Woohoo! Well, get serious. Are you serious about God? It's okay to dance around. I'm all for it. I love it. And I love freedom. And I love ha-ha laugh. And I love to get as drunk as a skunk. Love it. I love to get so far gone, I don't know where I am anymore. I like to get so far gone. You know, Edgar got so far gone one time, his face fell on a plate of mashed potatoes. He didn't even know it. He got drowned in the potatoes, but somebody saved his life by getting his face out of the plate of potatoes. I love getting gone in God. But what I've seen is there's a whole bunch of people who want the tra-la-la stuff, but they won't go for the guts of what's really going on in God. And if they get too close from it, they don't like it. They come into a place where the Spirit of God is moving and they go, oh, well, that's not really what I wanted. See, they don't really want to commit. They want to act all drunk and silly and have a good time, but they don't want to commit and they don't want to be changed and they don't want to be confronted with change. Well, how about it? I'm not going to dabble in this thing. You know, let's get in or get out. Let's get in the thing, or let's just, you know, hot or cold. No more lukewarm. Get hot or get cold.
Praise you.
This, I've seen too many people, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and hoo-hoo-hoo, all silly when they come to church, acting like they're all touched by the Holy Ghost. Well, listen, honey, if you're really touched by the Holy Ghost, you're changed. When He comes upon you, there comes, you walk away, and when things are still, you're like, oh, I can't stay that way. I got to deal with that. Oh, I was unkind. Oh, man. Oh, my language, I got to change my language. There's something that comes upon you, the conviction of the Lord. And it's not with condemnation. He can still do it while you're laughing. I know more people get free while laughing under the power of God. Get free, delivered, set free. I mean, you can get set free and delivered, but the heart is the crux of the matter. It's not your outward manifestation, toots. You can act all holy all you want. But the heart, on that day when we stand before Him,
yes,
our hearts are going to be exposed to the Holy One.
Amen.
You know, I know that all of us have, you know, outward manifestations that aren't perfect, and I certainly am not there yet. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing in. I'm still pressing in. Man, God, You've got to change me. You've got to deliver me. You've got to set me free. I can't be like this anymore. You got to do something in me, God, because I don't want to be ashamed on that day. I don't want to be ashamed on that day. I want to serve Him with a right heart. And one thing that God has said is He judges on the heart.
Amen.
He looks at our heart. And if someone's heart is, oh, God, I really want to be like You, and I know that I'm not, oh, God, that's the person that gets forgiven. Remember the publican and the sinner? Remember them? The sinner was on his beat his chest. He said, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He went away forgiven. Because his heart, he knew the truth, and he had some issues. And he wasn't going to pretend that he had it all together. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. In the charismatic church, there are people going around pretending that they have it all together. You tell them something, they're like, I knew that. Oh, get off your high horse, honey. You did not know that. I'm just joking, but I tell you the truth. We charismatics, we sometimes point fingers at the other church. We have enough issues of our own that we don't need to be judging everybody else. We got a lot of issues in the charismatic church. Yes, we do. And we need to start dealing with our stuff.
Amen.
We need to start dealing with God heart to heart, and contending for the gospel, contending for the truth, and contending for what God wants to do in you. There's mighty men and women of God in here.
Amen.
There's some mighty powerful people in here.
Amen.
But you aren't. God is not going to drop it on you. He will not just drop it on you because you're so nice. You got to go after it in the realm of the Spirit. You got to lay hold of the thing for which God has laid hold of you. You got to go after this thing.
That's right.
Yes, you do.
You got to go after God. You, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, you pray till the cows come. You pray and then you pray and then you pray some more. Go after this thing. I used to sit around and whine and cry and be all hurt because I knew I was called to do something in God, and I just couldn't understand why He didn't do it. He had promised me. He had showed it to me. I'd had visions of it, but it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
But then one day, I read my Bible. And God began to show me. But there were some things we got to do. You remember that Abraham was promised. They were promised the promised land. The minute they set foot in that promised land, they had battle after battle, after battle, after battle. Because they had to take every piece of land, every little single square foot, they had to take it by force. They had to go get it, fight for it. They had to fight to take it. They had to fight to keep it. The only way you're going to get your promised land is to take it. God is not going to hand it to you on a silver platter. He won't do it. I don't care how nice you are. You got to go after it.
You bet.
If you need to fast, if you need to develop your relationship, your friendship with God, if you have to take a year off of doing anything else, then you take your year off and you do that.
Amen.
You do what you got to do to take your land. You know God has made promises to you. Somebody in here, God promised you a business. He promised you a lucrative business. He showed you some things about it, but it's like it went for a while, but then it what's the word? It just sort of it's sort of festering. It's not going forward. It's not going backwards. It's just kind of like it's not what it should be, and you're frustrated. You know it should be more. Go after that thing. Go after it in the realm of spirit. Go after it. Pray. Take your land. Take your land.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh!
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell you one more thing. And I'm not trying to go long here, but I'm just going to tell you. I was talking to the Lord about tonight. And I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, there's some idolatry. And he said, idolatry is not always what people think it is. So I need to say this, or I won't have done my job tonight. There's some idolatry in the church that is not recognizable as idolatry. There's some things we know. We know it's wrong to lust, and we know it's wrong to do drugs, and we know it's wrong to do some of those things. But there's some things that are somewhat hidden to us that we do all the time. One of the things he showed me is the desire to seek man's approval. We want people to think of us a certain way. And so sometimes that is an idol before what we think, what God thinks of us. We want man's approval, and some of it comes out of being emotionally needy. And we're doing all these things to make sure we look right and smell right and act right. And the whole time, not paying attention to the thing we're called to do. He talked to me about the fear of man. Some of you come from some controlling backgrounds. And you've been more afraid of your pastor or who, God bless them, hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless them and help them. But some of you have been so afraid of the leadership you've been under that anytime they say jump, you say, how high? You know, one time I used to be like, the reason I could talk to them, I was like, that was me. I couldn't even see it. I was so devoted to my church and my pastor because I was so into the submission thing. Submission is of God. It is. But I was into a false submission where anytime they said jump, it was how high. And I was doing all these things for their approval because I wanted them to think well of me. And one day I was standing in the office doing something for the church, you know, doing a good work. And God spoke to me and he said, inordinate submission. Inordinate means out of order. I said, what do you mean? I'm doing the submit thing. I thought that was of you. And he said, you have put these people higher than me. You have placed them in a higher rulership than me, and I don't like it. You'll jump for them, but I want you to jump for me. Man, did I repeat? He said, you know, there's people out there who preach their church, and they don't preach Jesus. They're talking about their pastor trying to get people to come to their church. Now, they may have a good heart. Maybe the pastor's great and the sermon's great. But we need to preach Jesus.
That's right.
We need to tell people the truth about Jesus. Some of you have been in bondage to your family. Your family's whim. You know, your family... Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for dysfunctional families. There's families that have so many issues. People are so intertwined and interbound in the realm of the spirit, they're not free. Sometimes you need to cut some ties. It doesn't mean you don't love them. You got to love them. We have to love them. And we have to be lovingly towards them. But you need to set some boundaries. And if you need to cut ties, you need to cut them. Because if you're being controlled by someone, listen, here's what control is. It's someone taking the place of God in your life. Or trying to. Control is someone trying to be your Lord and make you obey them. That's what control is. And when we kowtow to that, and a needy person will, ooh, let me do that for you. Let me please you. See, it's like a control thing and a man-pleasing thing, and they hook up and form an ungodly tie, and neither one of them is going to be able to serve God appropriately until that thing is broken and proper boundaries are set up. But you still walk in love. You'll still have a relationship, but you'll have a right one. And that's just the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're just going to do a little bit of... I'm going to have us repeat some things. Now, many of those things may not have applied to you. But for the sake of others, let's just repeat some things out loud. Let's recommit before God. If you're okay with what I say, repeat it after me. Father, I commit my life to you.
Father, I commit my life to you.
To the Lord Jesus Christ.
To the Lord Jesus Christ.
I ask you to forgive me.
For
any attitude of my heart.
For any attitude of my heart.
That is not pleasing to you.
That is not pleasing to you.
Show me anything I need to change.
Show me anything I need to change.
And help me to be changed.
And help me to be changed.
I don't want idolatry in my life.
I don't want
anyone to come before you. But you be first in my life.
Give me a motivation.
To put you first.
Your desire.
Your kingdom.
Your glory.
Always.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. God knew my heart. Really knew my heart. If you could know the depth of my heart for humanity. Take on my heart, children. Seek me to gain one thing, my heart, for people, for your loved ones, for your own life. Seek to take on my heart, and the treasure of my heart will be yours. Because I long to fill you. I long to give you an infilling beyond what you've had, more than what you've known. There is something of, now I'm only going to try to describe what I'm seeing here.
Amen.
There was an infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And from that time, the church has had access to the infilling of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us forever. But there is an infilling that has something to do with the Father. It has something to do with the Father's heart.
Amen.
It is beyond what we have walked in or known, and it is for the last day. It is to prepare the Church of Jesus Christ for the last time, because in the last time, the Father Himself wants to minister through us to them. And as we gain His heart, we will gain His treasures. In other words, as we gain the Father's heart towards the planet, towards people, towards every tongue and tribe and kindred and nation, everybody on the planet, as we gain His heart, I feel that He's asking us to press in as individuals and as bodies to gain His heart, because He wants to infill us with not just the compassion, but I sense that when you pray for that, you'll get something else too. You won't just get His heart. It's almost like this. He has a great anointing to give, but He will only give it to those who have His heart.
Amen.
In other words, if you pray and get the cake, He'll give you the icing too. We've got the icing, but we didn't get the cake. We've sought the greater thing and the anointing, but we didn't seek the heart. And He's saying, you seek the heart, and I'll give you that anointing. I'll give you the powerful things that you seek. But I won't give them. I won't give them to somebody that is not going to do it with my heart of
Amen.
Compassion. I'm done with that.
Yes, that's right.
Because I want a people that are moving the way I would move if I was standing here in person. Hallelujah. The throne is the center of the universe. The throne is the center of everything that ever was or will be or is. Because everything that He said, He spoke from the throne. He spoke. The throne is the center of all the universe. He said to me one time, people talk about heaven, but that's the outskirts. It's about the throne.
Amen.
He said to me, people talk about the river, and that's wonderful, but the river comes from the throne.
Amen.
Yes.
And some people have come to understand a little about the river, but not the throne. We need to come to understand our Father. And do you know that He longs to bring us up to sit with Him in heavenly places?
Amen.
He says that He allows us to be seated on His throne.
Whoa, Nelly.
He allows us to be seated in Him. in the Father. Now listen to this. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, if you live in the Father on the throne, this is something to shoot for. You understand? This is not some ideology. I'm not talking about some pie-in-the-sky, vague kind of thing. I'm talking about a reality in the Spirit that can be attained.
Absolutely.
This is a reality that can be had. But we need to come with pure hearts. We need to be changed. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you. So the Holy Ghost in you, the Word of God in you, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh living in you, and then you living in the Father, the Scripture says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you of my Father which is in heaven. John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be one as they were one, him and the Father. He said to Philip, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Why? Because they were one in the Spirit. Jesus' physical body was here, but he had a spiritual knowing that he was living in the Father. They were one. And in John 17, he prayed for that oneness to come upon those who believe. There's something to be sought after that's beyond where we've reached, and in that place we are allowed to rule and reign. We are allowed to make proclamations that we would not be allowed to in another place.
Yes.
There are some things that can be done from the throne that cannot be done from outside that place.
Amen.
God is looking to bring his people up higher, to live in that place, to live in a higher place, to live in him, truly in him. And I tell you, when you are in that place, there is 100% perfect peace. There is 100% deep contentment and satisfaction. It's utter completion. It's like being complete, totally complete for the first time in your life. And there's a protection there because no, the enemy is his footstool. The enemy can't see you, can't find you, doesn't know where you are. You went missing. Where did you go? See, there's a hidden place in the Father. And God wants to bring his children, you know. Some people are way outside the outer court. Some people have wandered kind of in and out. Some people have come deeper. But God is saying, come all the way into the Holy of Holies. There's a process, yes. It takes some time, yes. But he's gentle. He's gentle. And while you're going through your process, he will not allow you to be damaged. He'll allow some things to fall off. He'll allow some habits to die. He'll allow your attitudes and your heart to be changed. But you'll come to a place where you really do want to do his will. You really do want to do his will.
Amen.
You long to be in his temple. Your heart rejoices to be in the house of the Lord. I'm talking about the temple in heaven. The other temple was just a copy. There's a real temple in heaven.
That's right.
It's a real place. And our hearts cry out to be in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Because there's something about that temple. There's something about that holy place. And outside that place, there's a warfare coming.
Yes, there is.
There's some things coming on the earth. There's a warfare coming against the body of Christ. And what God showed me very, very clearly is that those who are living in the safety of the temple, those who are living in the safety of God's Spirit in the realm with him, they won't be touched by the onslaught. But those who are outside won't be able to stand. They'll have a difficult time standing because the onslaught is very fierce. It's coming. I don't know when, but he showed me a horde, an enemy horde that was coming against the body. And those who were inside the stone walls of the temple, they couldn't be touched. But my heart went out to those that hadn't pressed, that hadn't spent the time to get into that place. with the Father, where they were under His hand of protection, where nothing could touch them.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's only two places to be in this last time. You know, there's no more gray stuff. There's only two places to be.
Yes, there is.
And we need to be those people that are in Him, in Him. And there's perfect peace and perfect protection in that place.
Amen.
Seek the Lord to be brought into that place. You will never be sorry. You'll never regret time spent going to that place. Because once you get there, it's like nothing else matters to you.
That's right.
The things of this earth will grow strangely dim.
Praise God.
The situations in your life will grow strangely dim. You may even hear someone upset that's yelling or attacking, but it's almost like you can't hear it in that place.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're aware, but you can't really hear it because you're in Him. That's the protection of the Lord. And there's a place in Him where there's such a oneness where you speak as from Him, because you are speaking His thoughts outward. But your physical body, which is here, is speaking the heavenly word of the Lord, and it is an arrow piercing the hearts of those who hear, because they know it is not the word of a mortal man.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And I hear the Lord saying, do your homework. Do your homework.
Amen.
Do your homework. Do what it takes to get there. Do it. You'll never regret it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.